Haunted UK podcast Short Haunts is produced and released in stereo. Listening through an environment such as headphones or stereo speakers will ensure you get the best experience. Here at Haunted UK Podcast Towers, we're committed to giving you high-quality, great episodes, time after time after time. But this takes a lot of effort in research, writing, editing, recording, mixing, mastering, and publishing. We don't have a fancy production company or a bank of scriptwriters, or a large budget to keep everything going. We are a fully independent podcast. If you'd like to help the show, then why not get over to Ko-fi and search for the Haunted UK podcast, where you can subscribe to give just £3 per month, the price of a Ko-fi, or as much as you like. If you'd rather not sign up for a monthly subscription, then you can simply make a one-off donation, again, as little or as much as you like. This really helps the show with our website, Ko-fi membership, merchandise, equipment, as well as other financial commitments. So, if you feel that you'd like to keep the lights burning, the wheels turning, and the stories rolling, then why not consider getting over to Ko-fi and donating to the show? That's Ko-fi and search for the Haunted UK podcast. Thank you.
Hello, and welcome to Real Life Ghost Stories podcast. If you love deep dives into paranormal cases, then Real Life Ghost Stories is the podcast for you. I'm Emma, your host, and every Sunday I present to you a famous paranormal case or claim. Not only that, but every Wednesday and Friday, I release a mini episode which is dedicated to the paranormal experiences of our listeners. So if you are looking for a non-judgmental paranormal podcast with a focus on storytelling, then Real Life Ghost Stories is the podcast for you. Join me every Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Haunted UK Podcast's Short Haunts. Welcome, dear listeners, to our series of Short Haunts, a shot of scary, just for you. So grab a hot chocolate, maybe a tea, maybe something stronger, because this is Haunted UK Podcast's Short Haunts, Strangers from the Sky. Like many people out there, I have a huge interest in the UFO phenomena. Hollywood movies such as Contact, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Mission to Mars and E.T. paint the picture of extraterrestrials as beings who have the best interests in the human race and our planet at heart. But this doesn't always seem to be the case. Witnesses of UFO incidents such as Travis Walton, for instance, will tell you that contact with an alien race is nothing short of terrifying. Fire in the Sky, a 1993 movie which was based on his abduction experience, is truly disturbing. It not only changed Travis's life forever, but also those who were with him that night. His book, The Walton Experience, is considered by many to be one of the best accounts of an alien abduction ever. After this story came out, skeptics became believers in an instant, and a case evolved which included the report of a missing man, police involvement, search parties, and polygraph tests. The story was centered around a logging crew who were working in the Apache Sitgreaves National Forest, Arizona. On the night of November the 5th, 1975, the crew were driving down a forest road when they spotted a disc-shaped craft in the sky, just above the treetops. The object was brightly lit and immediately attracted the attention of Travis Walton, who jumped from the vehicle they were in and ran towards the craft. Against the strong objections of his colleagues, he continued to head towards the object, and as he stood underneath it, a powerful beam of bright light from the craft appeared to hit Walton and throw him some 40 feet into the air. When he landed, he never moved, and his friends feared him dead and understandably panicked. They drove away, but quickly changed their minds and returned after approximately 15 minutes to find the UFO and Travis gone. The group reported Travis missing, and on the 7th of November, a search party of around 50 people gathered and combed every square meter of the land, but could find no traces of Travis Walton at all. 5 days later, on the 12th of November, the phone rang just after midnight at Travis Walton's sister's house. Her husband, Grant, answered the phone and was shocked when Travis spoke on the other end. What followed was a story which seemed too fantastic to believe, and even to this day, skeptics and believers still battle over whether Travis Walton's abduction was genuine or a huge hoax, which was orchestrated by the whole group. But why would you do this? What gain is there to make up a story like that? Go through the polygraphs, be interviewed again and again by police, face ridicule and outright accusations of deception and fraudulent behavior. Whatever the case, whether the Travis Walton experience is true or not, it certainly raises the question of what these alleged alien races really want with humans. Another very famous case was that of Betty and Barney Hill, who were allegedly abducted during a period of time between September the 19th to the 20th. But it's not just humans that are abducted by these ominous creatures. Animals have also long been the victims of strange abductions, their carcasses being found by farmers with horrific injuries, organs removed from precise incisions which seem to have been cauterized as they were cut. These are some of the famous and well-known cases which make it to the media circus which so often revolves around them. But what about those cases which aren't reported? The cases which remain hidden from the public by those who experience them, not wanting the risk of exposure to ridicule, media intrusions, the public looking at them as if they've lost their mind. It's understandable for abductees to want to shy away from sharing their experiences. It's not like witnessing a ghost. You're telling people that you've been abducted by a race of unknown beings who have traveled to our planet in a vehicle whose technology is literally hundreds of years ahead of anything that we have in current development. This short haunt is one of those stories, bravely sent in by a listener of the show whose father had an experience which can only be described as astonishing. Our listener will take it from here. My name is David, and I'm writing to you from New South Wales, Australia, not the UK. But if you can use this story, please do. It's not your run-of-the-mill tale of a haunting, a ghost sighting, a case of poltergeist activity. This is something completely different. My father now in his 80s, was a member of a farming family. It was time to sow wheat, and Dad and his older brother were taking shifts of ploughing the fields, about 2,000 acres. It was around 1954, and Dad had left school at the age of 12 and was now 14. Being the younger brother, he of course drew the short straw and was on the tractor for the night shift. In those days, the tractors were small and the ploughs narrow. The weather was just below freezing in the early hours, and Dad's mother swore that having wool against the skin was the surest way to stay warm. So, Dad wore a coat, a shirt, and a thick woolen jumper under them, next to his skin. There was a rivalry between the brothers as to who could cover the most acreage in 10 hours, and Dad hated losing. On the night in question, Dad set out to beat his brother's record. His next memory is of his brother teasing him for his lack of progress when he drove the tractor back to the shed shortly after dawn. His brother was shaking his head, accusing him of falling asleep on the job. Dad remembers feeling foggy and looking out over the freshly ploughed ground. He realized that something just didn't add up. What he'd ploughed amounted to less than half of what he would have expected to achieve. He gave up the equipment to his brother and walked towards the house, shaking his head to clear it. He was sure he'd not slept, but he had no memory of the night's work. Then, he had a sudden memory of a flash of bright lights and a clear vision of a silver object in the sky, descending into the corner of the field. Even in his 80s, he says the memory is still vivid. He was ploughing in utter darkness, with nothing but the inadequate lights of the tractor for illumination. Then the field was lit up by the silent silver object with the bright lights.
"What's going on?"
I asked him if it could have been a helicopter, but he rightly says there is still no such thing as a silent helicopter. He still racks his brain to remember any other details, but he can't. Dad says he was not particularly imaginative and had not even heard of flying saucers, but swears to this day that he saw something very much like one in the field while he was ploughing. All he remembers is the silver craft with bright lights, no noise or people, then being aware of driving in the morning, hours seemingly lost. There was no way he was going to discuss it with anybody, least of all his older brother. Although he was tired and ready for bed, he took himself down to that corner of the field to search for any sign that his dream had been real. He saw nothing but freshly ploughed ground. Perhaps his brother had been right. He'd nodded off and dreamed it, although he later learned from his brother that he'd only used half the fuel that he should have, but had no recollection of stopping or starting the tractor. He went to the room he shared with his brother and began to undress. He took off his coat, jumper, and shirt. "Wait," he thought. He always wore his jumper next to the skin, with the shirt and coat over the top, just as his mother insisted. Yet here it was, in the more conventional order. He never wore it that way in the cold nights on the tractor. There was just no explanation for the loss of time, productivity, and the change of clothing, combined with the strange craft. My father says he had not even heard of flying saucers at that age, and there was no TV, and his mother had cancelled the newspaper after his father had died. In those days, there was no electricity or running water on the farm, and certainly no television. They lived in complete isolation, with only occasional journeys for the provisions they could not grow or raise themselves. My father remembers the first time he saw a comic book with flying saucers in it. It was well after his experience.
He said he almost threw up when he saw it. Only then did he come to believe he had seen and possibly interacted with aliens. I'm a retired police officer, and my father is a firmly practical farming type. He is not given to flights of fancy. He only revealed this story to me when he was in his 70s, and we were discussing ghost stories. He was very reluctant to speak about it at first, but after some interrogation, he related the above. I asked him if he'd ever told anyone else about it, and he said he hadn't until his late sister had told him that she'd also seen strange lights in the sky around the same era. She was also very reluctant to say anything about it for fear of scolding. She had kept it to herself for 60 years and only told him shortly before her death. Although I believe in ghosts, a story for another time, I have always been firmly skeptical about UFOs, but my father has never told a lie in his life, and I have no reason to believe he has taken it up now. As I have said, he had never even heard of UFOs at the time of the event. I now believe in the possibility of ETs. All the best, David. And with that, we come to the end of this short haunt, but what a story this is. An experience which could very well possibly be some type of alien abduction. A farmer, out in the fields alone with nothing else around him but darkness and silence, broken only by the lights of the tractor and the noise of its engine. I can't imagine the terror of being out there, then suddenly driving back home in an instant, with no memory at all of what had just happened. Left with only a handful of strange clues, none of which make sense. Nowhere near the amount of fuel used, nowhere near the area of land ploughed. And then there's the fact that somehow your clothing has changed to the order in which it was put on. UFOs, or UAVs as they're now called, are spotted literally every day. Famously, the Pentagon released footage of the Tic Tac UAV incident, which took place in 2004, an incident which sparked huge debate. If the Pentagon are admitting that the footage is genuine, then what else do they have locked away? Crashed alien craft stored at Area 51? Or the legendary Hangar 18 at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base? Alien bodies, perhaps recovered from the Roswell incident in 1947? A list of worldwide government-approved members of the public who have been abducted, approved for experimentation, without their knowledge. Whatever the case, and however unbelievable it all sounds, what we can definitely establish is the fact that our governments never give away the whole story. Secrets have to be kept for the sake of national security, to protect the public, to maintain order, to keep civilization on an even keel. And whilst this continues to happen, new technologies will continue to be tested at top-secret facilities. New stealth aircraft, new devastating weapons, new ways to win wars that we all hope will never happen. So the next time you're out walking alone on a secluded trail, and the night is beginning to draw in, just make sure that you not only look left, right, forward and behind, but also up to the skies. Because the next person who could be telling a story of alien abduction could be you. Do you have an interesting story which features the paranormal? If so, your story could be featured in our series, Short Haunts. Please get in touch via email at hauntedukpodcast@hotmail.com, on Twitter at hauntedukpod, or on Instagram at hauntedukpodcast. We're waiting for your stories.
This episode was presented by Steve, produced by Pink Flamingo Home Studio, and the script was edited by Marie Waller Proofreading. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the show.